Some of you might have been thinking, well, Dave's going to preach, so I'm sure as anything he's going to come up with a sporting analogy or a sporting example, and he's probably going to reference Dallas Willard. And if you had both of those on your bingo card, you would be wrong today. But something amazing did happen on Friday night. I actually sat down with my wife and watched a rom-com. I don't think I've ever done that before in my life, but there we go, an amazing thing happened. And in fact, I haven't read this book or seen this movie, but I know a bit about it because I looked it up on Wikipedia. But who's ever seen the book, seen the movie, or read the book Eat, Pray, Love? It's a book by Elizabeth Gilbert, and it's sort of like a memoir of her experience. She was from America, and she was in a marriage, and it was unhappy, and she got a divorce. And then, because she was a writer and she managed to get an advance from a publisher, she was then able to spend a whole bunch of time going around the world trying to figure out how to be happy. And that includes spending some months in Italy, eating delicious food, and going to an ashram in India, and ending up in Bali, and then meeting a guy who's Brazilian-born but Australian citizenship, and she ended up getting married to him. But unfortunately, that marriage ended, and some subsequent relationships have also. And it seems like her pursuit of happiness hasn't quite worked out the way that she would have hoped, or in the idealized way that it's sometimes portrayed in those movies. But there's a lot of people in this world that are unhappy, aren't there? And there's not just people that are unhappy. There are people who are feel like they're just harassed by life, and they're helpless, or they're weary and worn out. And the good news is that there is hope for us. You know, not all of us, if we're in one of those categories of being unhappy or weary or worn out or harassed or helpless, not all of us can get an advance from a publisher and spend a year going around the world trying to figure it all out. Most of us don't have the financial resources to be able to do that. But the good thing is, it's not eat, pray, love with an advance from your publisher. But it's love, pray, eat from a loving God. And the good news is that God has worked in this world and works in our lives to speak to us at those deep points of need. John was a guy who was a young man when he first came across Jesus. And he was so inspired by Jesus that he followed him. And he was one of his inner circle disciples. And then for decades afterwards, he followed and trusted Jesus. And as he was then later in life writing to some people, he came to this incredibly deep, profound insight. Now, the existence of God, and we've talked about this already at the beginning of the year, that you can conclude that God exists because of the immensity of the universe and the design of the universe and the causality in the universe and a whole bunch of other things is evidence for that, and you can conclude that God is powerful from that. But this is what John said. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Did you see and hear that profound three-word statement in the middle of that reading? God is love. God is powerful. That God is powerful is indisputable, but that God is love is revolutionary. And it's not that we have to go somehow seeking for love, but that love is seeking for us. John, when he was putting together his gospel to describe the life of Jesus and introduce him to us, there's other famous words that were written. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It doesn't start with eating, it starts with love. But do you know that Jesus was praying for you? There's a record of it in John chapter 17 where Jesus says, I pray not only for those who believe in me, but those who believe in me because of their message, i.e. those who came after the first generation of followers of Jesus. And he prayed that they would be one, that you and I would be one, just as he and the Father are one in incredible loving relationship. And in the start of his earthly ministry, he was out in the wilderness and prayed for 40 days. And he was tempted as well, but he was out praying for 40 days. And many times during his earthly ministry, he would pray. And then he would eat with people. In fact, people have said, if you take out the mountaintop experiences and the table fellowship and meals on the Gospels, you're hardly left with anything. Because eating together with people is a profound way of connecting with people. It's not just a utilitarian way of getting calories into your body. Now, we've sometimes made it like that, so we get sort of zombie-like, sitting in front of a TV, shoving food into our mouth. But eating around a table, around a family meal or a community meal or a feast is a thing that helps make you, if you feel like you belong. And God, amazingly in the person of Jesus, comes and eats with us. So the action of God is love, pray, eat. It says this interesting thing in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through, from verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. God's response to our being harassed and being helpless. And later on in Matthew 11, Jesus talks about, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. God's response to that is a response of love. And his whole ministry was ministering to people. You can sort of, if you Google or you look up in a concordance or whatever, the times where it talks about Jesus had compassion on people. It's when a widow's son died, when people were hungry and all these sort of other things. Jesus so often responded to everybody out of love and out of compassion. But then there's an interesting thing that Jesus says. Straight after this in Matthew chapter 9, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So God is already love. Jesus is already prayed. And now he's inviting his disciples who've experienced his love to also pray. He had already gone out eating with people, people like Matthew the tax collector and others, and even in Peter and Andrew's house, he'd eaten with them. And so Jesus had already done that, and now he sends other people out, not just the 12, but the 72 others. In Luke chapter 10, it says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. When you enter a house, say peace to this house, verse 7 of chapter 10, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you. And so God invites you and me into the love, pray, eat process as well. If you're harassed and helpless or tired or worn out or unhappy, you need to know that God is love and that God's praying for you and that God wants to have table fellowship with you. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to know that God invites you to participate in that, to love people with his love, to pray for people with his prayers, and to eat with people, just as Jesus did. And so that's part of the reason we've got a thing on next weekend, a community week on end, where we say we're going to make all of our church time, we're going to give back to you to do community time, to eat with people. But there's across the Baptist Union, starting next weekend, there's a week of prayer that they've invited all churches to participate in. And we're going to be posting stuff in the hub on a daily basis so that you can join in with that. I think there's even a statewide Zoom meeting, and we'll again post the details for that. But one of the things that they encourage you us to do is to go on a prayer walk. And so next weekend, even if you don't get a chance to have meals with people, I'd love you to find a period of time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, to go for a prayer walk. It's really simple. You stand up, if you're able, and you walk somewhere. And you pray for the houses and the people that you walk past. And what do you pray? Well, you just pray that they would know God's love. And that if they're harassed and helpless or unhappy or tired or weary, that God would somehow meet that need. When Mark Burgess was here from Peru, he talked about the fact that they had done this prayer walking back in 2020 and just before the COVID pandemic. And as it was out of that prayer walking that a whole bunch of effective mission and ministry arose and happened. So we'd love you next weekend, as well as looking for some opportunities to have coffee or a cake or a lunch or whatever with your neighbours and friends, we'd love you to carve out some time to go and pray. So you're already filled with the love of God. We want you to pray and eat next weekend. But we are going to invite you to join in some conversation in a few moments' time. I'm going to ask the music team to come back up, because what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to reflect on, for those of us who have been following Jesus, the details of the process of how we came to follow Jesus, how we came to know God's love, how we came to know that God is with us and loves us and forgives us and all those sort of things. And so we're going to go and grab a cup of tea, have a bite to eat, and we're going to invite you to come back in here, and we're just going to be doing some reflecting questions. And you're all invited, but there's no pressure. You don't have to share anything you don't want to. You can just listen if you like. You don't even have to be a Christian. You can be part of this conversation and just listen to the reflection. And what we're going to do is get some questions in three groups. The first one is, who are the people that were in your life that helped with that process? For me, it was my parents and a couple of ministers, Richard Bowie and Tom Wood, were significant people for me. What were the groups that was significant where you sort of encounter God? And obviously it was the church that my parents deliberately moved from one church to another church, but it was really alive and God was active, and that was significant for me. And I was in some small groups as part of youth group there. That was also significant for me. And then some processes. How did your questions get answered, or you learn stuff about God? And for me, it was borrowing some tapes from the cassette tape library at church. That's showing you how old I am. But that's my unique, no one's ever going to buy a book about that, right? But that's my unique stuff. And we just want to hear and share those together, because there'll be some themes that emerge. And when we reflect on how God has worked in our life, we can then be more aware of how God might be working in the lives of those around us and cooperate with God. So that's what we want to do in the workshop, and we'd love you to participate in that. It won't be scary. You're not going to be asked to speak from the front or say anything that you don't want to say. But we'd love you to enter into that process just with who you are. You don't have to be anyone else other than who you are, and we're interested for you to do that reflecting. But we're going to finish this part of our service with this song, Abide. For my waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. Draw me close and teach me to abide. So if you're harassed and helpless, or feeling like you're tired and weary, or there's some other trauma or other challenge going on in your life, abiding in the love of God is the key. And so I invite you to use this song to say, yes, Jesus, I need to abide in you. Help me to abide in you. I open my life to you afresh for you to minister to me. So let's stand and sing.